Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Shalom, shalom. Grace and peace in Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hey, shalom, shalom, family.
Shalom. Shalom, shalom is
good morning.
Grace and peace. Good morning.
How is everybody?
Blessed.
Amen.
Hanging in there.
Hang on in there, honey. Hang on in there, get greater later.
That's right. Say that. Say that. It will be greater later.
Amen.
That's a true saying in the world. Well, once again, we want to say good morning. Hallelujah. Grace and peace in Jesus. We know some of us is out here and still celebrating the feast days, and we want to tell them, hey, hallelujah, continue to do what you're doing. God be with you. And, hey, we hoping that you're enjoying this feast just as much as we did. We want to say grace and peace to everyone that's listening. I'm Job Israel of the Commonwealth of Israel, here with my beautiful Rhea Israel, also of the Commonwealth of Israel. She is manning the board. Shalom, Queen.
Shalom, family. Shalom, King Free.
Amen. And this morning, hey, look here. This morning we have Brother Isaiah Brown from the Spirit of Meekness and Charity Bible Study Class out of Peoria, Illinois.
Amen.
Woo, woo, bring in the... that heavyweight, bringing that heavyweight sound doctrine. The title of today's lesson, brothers and sisters, is Job Ignorance Before His Taxes, His Adversities, Part 2. Job Ignorance Before He Taxes, His Adversity, Part 2.
Before Job taxes his adversity.
Oh, then what am I reading?
You're just looking at his picture.
Oh. Okay, before Job taxes his adversity, part two. Okay, forgive me, brother. And today, reading for him is Brother Joshua Israel out of Chicago, Illinois. Shalom to my brother Joshua. Grace and peace in Jesus.
Shalom, brother. Shalom, brother. Grace and peace, brother.
Oh, man, the Father's merciful, man. It's good news, man. You know, it's a blessing to bring more people on to the squad. How you doing this morning?
So far, so good. Can't complain. God's good and merciful.
Oh, man, ain't he?
So merciful, yes.
Amen, bro.
So Joshua, this is your brother Joshua out of Chicago, Illinois. I've been knowing this brother for over 20 years. Sweet brother, meek brother, and he loved the word. And the Father allowed us to come across each other paths in the most unorthodox way. But you know when God is working, you know it's his business. So, man, God is good. God is good. And
hey, man.
He been checking out the radio blog talk, man, and he and the Father been allowing him to be edified by it. And hey, he say he don't mind helping in the vineyard. You know, so praise God for the Father putting it in his heart to help in the vineyard. Thank you, Prince. We love
and
you for that.
And another increase.
Hey, man,
yeah.
Always welcome, bro. Always welcome. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, you know, it's a little city talk. You know, what side you from, bro?
What's that?
I said just a little city talk. What side you from?
Oh, Southside of Chicago.
Oh, Southside. I'm 75th in Halston. Born and raised up there. Yeah, 75th in Halston.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I lived over by that way for a little while myself.
Oh, right. It's always, you know, we hear with people from Chicago, y'all be like, yo, what side you came? What side you from, bro? You know, it's still, you know, just bring back Starburst. But it's a blessing to be here. All right,
yes,
grace
sir.
And peace, family. Grace and peace. My name is Brother Isaiah. I am teaching a lesson today. And what's your name again, bro?
Joshua.
Okay, Joshua. Okay, my reading to this morning is Brother Joshua Israel.
Amen.
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 Well, I didn't finish introducing you, man. If you want to go ahead and just jump on in there, then that's fine too, Jack. You know, let me do
Amen.
My job. Can I do my
Amen.
Job? Can I do my, I feel the love and all that, but can I finish
y'all.
What I do? Can I finish that? All right,
Amen.
Thank you.
I love
thank
y'all so
all right.
much.
Don't get me started. All right, anywho. All right, the precept today is Job, before Job taxes his adversity part two, Job chapter 1 and verse 8. There was a man in the land of Oz whose name was Job. This man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and escheweth evil. Verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feared God and escheweth evil. The scriptures of Job 1 and 1 in verse 8. So with that being said, we will turn this over to our brother Isaiah Brown.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Grace and peace, family. Grace and peace. Hope all is well.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for tuning in this morning to the Sunday Breakfast Bunch. And like Job said before, I said again, the name of the precept is latest. Well, today, I'm sorry. And we are live. Today's precept is called Job ignorance before he tested his adversity part two. It's because if you was with us last Sunday, well, the Sunday before last, when the precept was brought forth, and when Job was going through his adversity, when Job was going through his heartache and his troubles, you know, in the beginning we understood that he was only going through that because the Lord was proving that he was a perfect and upright man. But Job ignorance was he don't know why it was happening. And when you pay close attention to Job's storyline, when he started to do a self-check on himself, his self-check ended right with how he treat people and how was his love towards people. How was his adversity? Did I make the widow sing? You know, how did I treat the wicked when I saw them treating the poor wrongfully? You know, how was my spirit and my love and my charity towards them? When you think about it, It wasn't the righteousness we think was righteous, but the greatest righteousness that we've seen from Job and through his self-check of himself was how he treated people. We learned all that in the first part because, and when you look at Eliphaz, Eliphaz said something that we was not really, we don't really pay close attention to, and that is called the word, and that was the upright word. We're going to get into that upright word again, but what we're going to do now is just get into this story and just get a greater understanding on what Job was doing and why the Father called him, well, why the Most High God called him a perfect and upright man. So I'm going to start us out in the Lord's Prayer, and then Brother Joshua Israel can read whatever the Father put on his heart for the scripture opening. So I'm going to ask all the sisters to please cover your head and ask all the brothers to please uncover your head. We're going to face the east and pray in.
Where did you want to pick it up at?
I'm about to start us out in the Lord's Prayer, and then you can grab a scripture on whatever the Father put on your heart.
Okay.
After this matter, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I was just tuning in. I was going to be reading for one of the brothers today. Honestly, to prepare myself for it for this today. My apologies.
It's all good, bro. You got more in the scripture for me? Or it's okay if you don't.
I don't.
Okay, cool. All right, so I have a short one right here. I got a short one for opening. Amen. If thy enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. Thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. The north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance and backbiting tongue. It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman and in a wide house. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news for a far country. A righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. It is not good to eat much honey, so for men to search their own glory is not glory. He that have no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without wall. The reading was found in the book of Proverbs, chapter 24, verses 21 through 28. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
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 Well, as usual on this blog talk show, it's time for us to take these scriptures off to shreds. So what we're going to do this morning is get a beautiful, matter of fact, an amazing understanding on why, how you treat people, how you deal with brothers' adversity, and how you take care of the poor is by far some of the greatest righteousness you can ever pull off for the Lord. And but basically, for yourself, is the greatest righteousness you can pull off for yourself. You know, because we look at a lot of things in the Bible like, well, I got to go oppose these people. I got to go smite the fist. I got to go debate with somebody. I got to go argue this. I got to go prove this and that. But when you really look at your righteousness, the righteousness according to the scriptures is going to really show you what's really considered perfect and upright. So let's get into this. Let's get into this book. Y'all think I'm playing today? We ain't playing today. Let's get into these scriptures. Now let's go into the book of Job chapter 1 verse 1. We're going to the book of Job chapter 1 verse 1. And Brother Joshua, I would like for you to read verse 1 for me, and that's it.
There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil.
Amen. So now when you look at it, it just simply told us that Job was a perfect and an upright man and one that feared God and eschewed his evil. Skip down to verse 8 and just read verse 8 for me.
And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil?
Now we understand that the Lord know that Job is a perfect and upright man, and Job hated evil. You know, but the whole thing is this right here. If God called a man perfect, he always revealed his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. So if he called a man perfect, he's going to tell us and even show us why he was called perfect. And this is why we're going into the book of Job. Because if God is breathing on Job like this, man, you are an upright and perfect man, then I think it's obvious. I think it's very, very urgent for us to read his story slow. Get you a dictionary. Break these words down and get a real meaning on why Job was called a perfect and upright man. It's not rocket science. And when you look at when he started to do a self-check on his lifestyle, when he started to do a self-check on his work in the vineyard, you will start to get a better understanding what the word perfect means and upright. So let's go in the book of Job chapter 2, and let's hear it again one more time. We're in the book of Job chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 through 3. The book of Job chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. When you get it, Brother Joshua, go ahead and read.
Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him, to destroy him without cause.
So no matter what he done, no matter what Satan took from Job, all Job said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord gave away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's all Job said, no matter what he took, even though he took great things that mean a lot to people. But we should understand what's written in the book of Ecclesiastes when the book said that, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for that is the absolute whole duty of man. So that's what's going to always get us through when things is just out of our hands, is to remember that's only our mission is to serve God and keep his commandments. But we just found out that Job passed his test. This is what's the perfect and upright man. So now he's going through his adversity now. You know, now he's going through, you know, his sickness, you know, trying to recover from the anguish and pain. So the Lord allowed some of Job's friends to come down to nourish him up. And these three friends was Eliphaz the Temanite, it was Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. Because those three friends came down to check Job out and to nourish their brother up and also be there for brother's adversity. But when you read the story of Job, they wasn't there for his adversity. you know, they said some interesting things that we can pull out of the Bible. But the whole thing is that when you read the story of Job, all they were doing was condemning him. And you never want to condemn your brother because you don't know what's going on with him. Our job is to love him and nourish him up and to strengthen him according to the pages that's written in the book. But right now we're about to go into the book of Job chapter 4. And the book of Job chapter 4 is going to give us enough information on why Job was a perfect and upright man, because Eliphaz goes straight out of his mouth. But the best part about it is that Eliphaz is going to use the word upright. So let's check this word upright out. So we're in the book of Job chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5. When you get it, Brother Joshua Israel, go ahead and read, bro.
Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, "If we are saved to commune with thee, wilt thou be grieved? But who can withhold himself from speaking? Behold, thou hast instructed many, and thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Thy words have upholded him that was fallen, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. But now it has come upon thee, and thou faintest. It touches thee, and thou art troubled."
Hey, man. Matter of fact, read verse 6. I'm sorry. Verse 6 is what we need.
"Is not this thy fear, thy confidence, thy hope, and the uprightness of thy ways?"
Now we just call it the uprightness of his ways. But when you look at the storyline, Eliphaz said that thou hast instructed many. Thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Your words have upholding that man that was falling. And you have strengthened the feeble knees. But now it come upon you. You know, now you're going through the same thing. And now you're troubled. But what Eliphaz said, what was perfect, was, matter of fact, that was great. He said, "Is not this thy fear, thy confidence, thy hope, and the uprightness of thy way?" So verses 3 and verses 4 showed us the uprightness of Job's ways. And on your own time, go to the book of Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17, it lets you know that a brother loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. But the uprightness of Job's ways was how he treated people. You know, how was he towards those that was in need? You know, and how he strengthened the feeble knee, and how he upholding the ones that was falling. This is just telling us a little bit of this storyline, but we're going to get more into the storyline. But anyways, this is why Job was called a perfect and upright man. He simply said that these were the things that you have done in verses 3 and 4 was uprightness of your ways. So what I did was look up the word uprightness. Is adjective. It means adhering, rectitude, righteousness, honest, or obey, keep, and respect. But the biggest thing we got about it is righteousness. So if this is righteous and righteousness, when they say uprightness of his ways, that was the righteousness of his ways. So now this picture is about to get even bigger than this. And the reason why this is the righteousness of his ways is because the Lord showed us something in the New Testament that we need to go check out. So what we're going to do now is go into the book of Acts chapter 20. We're going to the book of Acts chapter 20. The book of Acts chapter 20. And we're going to read verses 35. Just that one verse, the book of Exodus chapter 20, verses 35. When you get it, boo, what's the book say?
"I have shown you all things. How that so laboring you ought to support to," I'm sorry, let me start over.
Mm-hmm.
"I have shown you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. How he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive."
Amen. You see, because I have showed you all things. And when you look at that word all, come on, I know I did. Hold on one second. Yep, I did. If the books have showed you all things, yeah, I got petty. I looked the word all up.
you don't get a good definition about of it. And definition of all is just, the definition of all is predominator, determiner, and pronoun. And it means used to refer to the whole quantity or extent of a particular group or thing. So I have showed you the whole quantity and extent of all things. One, support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. So if he told us the whole story, or if I told you your whole duty, of course you fear God, but I really want y'all to go out there to support the weak. How that so laboring, ye ought to support the weak. That's a very big part of our job as well. And before this was even written, this was what Job was doing. He was out there laboring that he ought to support the weak. Let's get more of this story. Let's get some more of this story into him. Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 34. It'll be 34 through 40. Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40.
But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
Amen. One more again. You know, like I said, I'm never going to take anything from what the Lord has showed another man, you know, about other things in the Bible. But the whole thing is this right here. You know, understand the meat, forget not the milk. And that metaphor is that understand the knowledge and things that's going on. But every day of your life, you need the milk. You know, the milk is just keeping the commandments and laws and statutes. You know, that's how we're going to get into, that's how we're going to have a fighting chance. But the book is telling us the two greatest things right here. Love God with all your heart and soul and love your neighbor as thyself. You know, you hang the law and the prophets up a day. You know, so then it just make you think. It's like, if that's the case, then why did the Bible say the righteous is scarcely saved? You know, in other words, scarcely is just another word for difficult. If that's all he asking for us, because he simply asked a question and he told them. If this is it, why is the righteous only scarcely saved? Why is it that it's only a small remnant that's going to be saved? When you sit here and think about this question, it just shows you our pettiness. It's because when you look at Israel, we're just continuous, stiff-necked, hard-headed people anyway. And when you go on Facebook and you look at other people, the things they say, teach, and do, I rarely ever hear this come out. How many times have you heard your righteousness is being is how you treat people, or be there for the poor and the fatherless? How many times have you heard that as being your righteousness? How many of us are out here opposing one another, or debating, or being in another man's business with his family? Is that we're so concerned about other things instead of paying attention to the big picture here. And that's simply, love God with all your heart and soul, and the second commandment is love thy neighbor as thyself. And let's look now. Let's go back into the story of Job. Let's go to the book of Job, chapter 29. And just read verse 1 for me. The book of Job 29 and just verse 21. The book of Job 29 and read verse 12. I'm sorry. Job 29 and 12.
Because I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none help, and him that had none to help him.
Amen. So when you look at Job, because this is Job doing a self check on his life, because and then he's just talking about it. He was like, because I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help him. Verse 13.
The blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy.
So now we're getting some righteousness here. Now we're getting some righteousness. Now we're getting some righteousness. This is the righteousness that made Job perfect. It said, because I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help him. The blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. How many widows are we helped to sing for joy? How many poor have we delivered that was crying? And the fatherless, and him that had none to help him. How many fathers were we to the fatherless, or the one, or people that had none to help them? How many of us doing this stuff? Read verse 15 for me. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm going to say verse 14. Read verse 14 for me.
I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem.
Now, it said that I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe, as a diadem. So it just showed you that was his righteousness. He told you in verse 12 and 13 what he was doing. In verse 14, he let us know, I put on righteousness. That was the righteousness I pulled on. I put on. Because he already called his brothers miserable comforters are y'all. So it was obvious that he wasn't getting no answer from them. So Job started to do a self-check on him. And when he did a self-check on him, he's telling us things he have done. It simply said, I put on righteousness. In verses 13 and verses 12 and 13 is telling you what that righteousness was. Verse 15.
I was eyes to the blind, and feet was I to the lame.
So those that were limping and needed help, I was right there for them. The ones that couldn't see, I was the eyes. And if the Lord called this man a perfect and upright man, ain't no telling how far he took that person that was blind or that person that was lame. He probably took him through the whole city and spent the whole day with him. He could have, I don't know, but I know he was with them because he put on righteousness. Verse 16.
I was a father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not, I searched out.
Amen. Boy, I was there. I was a father to the poor. It makes you think about that father to the poor, because when the Lord said you're supposed to defend the poor, and they knew Job was coming in town, I wonder how many poor people surrounded him and how he was a father to them.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, just think about it. The wicked treating the poor bogus, and the poor see Job coming through in the town. They probably came to him like little kids because they know he got some candy. Job, he been doing me wrong. Job, he took my last little bit of coins. Job, he took my bread from me. Job, they've been treating us horrible in this land. And just like a father, y'all watch out, I'll be right back. And what did he do? Verse 17.
And I break the jaws of the wicked and pluck out the spoil out of his teeth.
Hey, y'all hold up. Why will knock their ass out? So they watch the great punishment for the wicked and got some goods afterwards. How many of us is doing this? How many of us is knocking the jaw loose on the wicked for treating the poor wrong?
Amen, brother. Great question.
Amen.
That's something to think about. Ain't nobody doing that for the poor.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, you're right. I do all I can, man, when I see him, Lord knows. I try my best, man. If I see somebody poor that asks me something, Lord knows, I try my best to make sure that I always have something. But the question, because you know me, we go reason together when we do these precepts. Think for a second. It said after we're reading Job 29, verses 12 through 17. 14 said, I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. And he's telling you his story of his righteousness and how it clothed him. Why is it that what are we in this westernized world, what are we calling righteousness now? Attacking people on Sunday, being in everybody's business, is always the preacher's fault that go to church on Sunday. He leading everybody to hell. And then we go and attack people and harass people all day online about that matter. And that's what we call righteousness. Oh, yeah, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy in the synagogue that you can't find in the Bible. And being there on time, wearing your best clothing. Now, that's our righteousness. It's a great thing to attend the Sabbath day. I'm never going to say anything about that. But that's not going to get you a sure spot in the kingdom. Reading Job's storyline is going to get you there. Because God called him a perfect and upright man. Let's let the Bible add more to this. The book of Job, chapter 30, and all we want is verse 25.
Did not I weep for him that was in trouble? Was not my soul grieved for the poor?
Right, so just imagine the ones that Job couldn't get to when he entered the land. Just imagine if one passed away or died. Or one too far gone that he couldn't help. Damn, I let one go. He was grieved for that. Because he was putting on righteousness, but it's so much a man can do. But it was the best he could do.
What script was that you just shared?
That was the book of Job chapter 30, verse 25.
25, okay. Thank you.
Yeah, Job 30 and 25. Because even though he's rattling on in these verses, he's actually saying some good things. That's why I reread the book of Job chapter 1 and 2 to understand why he was going through his adversity. But at this moment, Job don't know why. So he's doing a self-check, and now he's talking crazy. But we're just reading his self-checks right now. We ain't interested in all that crazy talk he was talking about. But 25 said, did not I weep for him that was in trouble? Was not my soul grieved for the poor? I'm doing my job. This is why I'm a perfect and upright man. Why am I being viciously attacked by my brethren? Why is all my stuff still gone? Why is my children gone? his ignorance before he understood his adversity we're talking about here. And my brothers is condemning me. They might as well pack their stuff up and go home. But when you're looking at the story, he's showing you his righteousness was how he treated people. His righteousness was how he was dealt with his brother's adversity. And definitely those that was in need and the poor people. And definitely the ones that was being treated wrong. We just read in verse 17 that his hands got a little loose. That's his righteousness. I'm trying to stoop this in your head to see that, to show that this is righteousness that we're reading. This is righteousness. Job 31 and verse 16. Read that verse 16 for me. The book of Job 31 verse 16.
If I have withheld the poor from their desire, or have caused the eyes of the widow to fall.
Now he's looking like this. If I have withheld the poor from their desire, or have caused the eyes of the widow to fail. 17.
Or have eaten my morsel myself alone, and the fatherless have not eaten thereof.
Let me think. Have I eaten my morsel myself alone, and the fathers have not eaten thereof? Have I done that? 18.
For from my youth, he was brought up with me as with the father, and I have girded her from my mother's womb.
Amen. 19.
If I have seen any perish for want of clothing, or any poor without covering.
Amen. Let me see. Let me look at. All right, now. If I have seen any perish for want of clothing, or any poor without covering. Now, if I've been bogus to these people for this matter, if I ain't been clothing these people, if I've not been giving them covering, go ahead and read verse 20.
If his loins have not blessed me, and if he were not warned with the fleece of my sheep.
Uh-huh.
If I have lifted up my hand against the fatherless when I saw my help in a gate, then let my
arm... So he said, if I have seen any perish for want of clothing or any poor without covering. So do you the stuff we're reading, this is a self-check. Because now I'm thinking... Man, if I did any of this stuff, if I have seen any perish for want of clothing or any poor without covering, or if his loins have not blessed me, and if he were not worn with the fleece of my sheep, if I have lifted up my hand against the fatherless, when I saw my help in the gate, verse 22.
Then let my arm fall from my shoulder blade, and my arm be broken from the bone.
Because now I understand why I'm going through this. If I've done anything wicked to the poor, if I wasn't there for my brother's adversity, if I didn't cause the widow's heart to sing for joy, if I have seen any perish for want of clothing or any poor without covering, now I understand. Chop the whole arm off from the bone. Because now I understand why I'm going through this adversity. Because I put on righteousness. I put that on. And I was a father to those that was in need. I was a father to the poor. I strengthened the feeble knees. I stripped in their hands. Why am I going through all this? Because if I didn't do this, then I'm wanted. I'm a liar. Chop my whole arm off. Because now I understand why this trouble is against me. Well, amongst me.
is because this is so powerful. I honestly believe we can get this back into the Godhead of the family. What you mean, Brother Isaiah? Well, let's find out. Let's go to the book of Psalms 82. It's because so many, we heard this story so many times. But that's why it's urgent for you to read the Bible for yourself. Not take nothing from brothers that did the lesson, but when you sit back to read this yourself, it's like you almost tear the page from stopping because you read the rest of it. It's because we heard a story about how to become gods in the Bible. But if you really pay close attention to what's written in the pages of the book, you're going to really see what it's called to be a righteous man and to get that power back in the Godhead of the family. I'm not saying that's all you have to do, but that's the greatest part of your work. So we're in the book of Psalms chapter 82. And Brother Joshua, we're going to read verses 1 through 5, and that's all we need. So when you get it broke, I'm going to read.
God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah, defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course.
Now, if you really pay attention to what's being said here, remember Job chapter 1. It said that Job hated the wicked. Job hated the evil. He hated the wicked stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
It said, how long will you judge unjust and accept the persons of the wicked say lie? But when you look at how the storyline is going, when you look in the book of Job and other parts in the Bible, one of the biggest parts of being called wicked is how you treat people. Because remember, the wicked don't care nothing about the poor. But the Lord said it's righteous taking care of the poor. Keep your marker here. We're coming right back here. Go on to the book of Proverbs chapter 29. So we can get a better understanding of this right here. Let's go to the book of Proverbs 29. The Lord just popped something in my head for a second. Popped something in my mind. The book of Proverbs 29, just read verse 27, so we get a better understanding of Psalm 32. So we're in the book of Proverbs 29, and just read verse 27. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
An unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in the way is abomination to the wicked.
Amen. So an unjust man is abomination to the just. We don't like seeing that junk, but when a wicked man comes through, and he that is upright, but we understand what the uprightness was, being there for a brother's adversity, helping those that's in need, helping the poor, delivering the fatherless, doing justice to the afflicted and needy. Those was upright things that we read in the Bible. And what it said about the wicked, and he that is upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked. So we just found out that the uprightness that we do is abomination to the wicked. And then go back into the book of Psalms 82. And then it said, how long will ye judge unjust and accept the person of the wicked stay alive? So I'm understanding that this wickedness that's being talked about in verses 2 is how you treat people. It's how you treat those that's in need. Have you accepted the world? Are you afflicting the wicked? Are you afflicting the poor now? Have you become like them? Because let's read this. It says, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judges from under God. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? They lie. And then look at verse 3 talk. It said, defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. Verse 5, it said they know not. Neither will they understand. Understand what? They don't understand that they're supposed to defend the poor and the fatherless.
They don't understand that they're supposed to do justice to the afflicted and needy. They don't understand that they're supposed to live with the poor and needy. They don't understand or know not that they're supposed to rid them out of the hand of the person of the wicked. They don't understand that. So when you're looking at this verse right here, it's way bigger than Healthy Plenty. Because the book told you I called y'all gods, and I honestly believe how we treat one another is how we're going to get back into the Godhead of the family. Because Job 1 and 1 says Job was a perfect and upright man. We read his uprightness and his perfectness, and it's going back to how you treat people. Wow.
Amen, brother. Say that.
Amen.
Amen.
So today, this very day on this Sunday breakfast bunch, we are seeing what is considered righteousness in the Most High's eye. This is upright. Now let's go to the book of Matthew chapter, hold on 1 second. I'm sorry, let's go to the book of Proverbs chapter 19. The book of Proverbs 19, and we're going to read verses 17. That's it.
He that hath pity upon,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and he which hath given will pay him again.
Amen. And this could even get you to the kingdom. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given, will he pay him again? Pay him what? Because you're doing this thing for the poor. It said that you lend it to the Lord when you do that, and the Lord said he'll pay you back. But what? What is he going to pay you back with? Let's find out. Let's go to the book of Matthew 25. What is he going to pay you back? What is he going to pay you back with? Book of Matthew 25. And we're going to read verses 31 through 40, bro. The book of Matthew chapter 25, and you can read verses 31 through 40. Amen. When you get it, go ahead and read.
When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hunger, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it to me.
Oh, so when it said that we have pity on the poor, you lend to the Lord and he pay you back. And you just find out that these people that was considered sheep and also on the right side has got everlasting life because how they took care of people. And how they dealt with the poor, the fatherless. And how they visited the man in prison. And how they was hungered and thirsty and how they gave people to drink. The Lord said, I pay you back. I pay you back for doing that. And we read Matthew 25, and it's showing you exactly what we just read in the book of Proverbs 19, 19 chapter, verse 17. It said that you have pity on the poor, you lend unto me, and I pay you back. And we're reading about some of this stuff you pay back in the book of Matthew, chapter 25. This got you. It seemed like to me that that got them everlasting life. So now we get a greater understanding. This is why I don't believe that no man or woman has the audacity to close a book up and say they learned enough. I believe that this Bible is infinite. I believe that this Bible is going to constantly keep revealing things to those that's seeking. And to study yourself approved. Not study yourself approved with what the teacher taught you, but study to show yourself approved of what the Father is teaching you in this book.
Amen.
It's a big difference. You're learning another man's understanding, but what about the understanding the Father can show you? Study, show yourself approved on that, and watch where it gets you. Because there ain't no teacher greater than Christ. I don't care who you are. But the book of Proverbs 17, one more time, has said, when you pity on the poor, you lend it to the Lord, he'll pay you back. And in Matthew 25, verses 31 through 40, just gave us a sneak preview of what Proverbs 19 and 17 really mean. So be mindful of that. That's perfect. And let's get some more stuff just upright, because we understand that upright means righteousness. And we just found out from a perfect and upright man, Job, that his perfectness and his uprightness was taking care of the poor and helping those that's in need. So let's get a better understanding of what the Lord will do for an upright man. So let's go in the book of Psalms chapter 7 and pick it up in verse 10.
Where did you say go?
We're going to the book of Psalms chapter 7 and we're going to read verses 10.
Verse 10?
Just that one verse, the book of Psalms 7 and 10. Yes, sir.
My defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart.
Hold on one second, bro. Hold on one second. I think I'm in the wrong spot. I'm in Job. That's why it's looking crazy. Y'all forgive me. I'm in Job. Okay, Psalms 7 and 10, bro. Can you read that for me one more time?
My defense is of a God, which saveth the upright in heart.
Upright in heart, upright in mind, righteous in heart, righteous in mind. And we just read the book, the story of Job, to find out what that was. Let's go to the book of Psalms, chapter 11, verse 7. And we have three more after this, three more spots after this. We're in the book of Psalms, chapter 11, and we're just going to read verses 7. You get it, bro? Go ahead and read.
For the righteous Lord loveth the righteousness. His countenance doeth uphold the upright.
Amen. Like I said, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. We just got to understand what some of this stuff is. Was considered upright and also righteousness. Righteous. His countenance doeth behold the upright. So that's why the Lord was with Job like that, and that's why the Lord was bragging on Job to Satan, that saying he's a perfect and upright man. Have you considered my servant Job a perfect and an upright man? The Lord knew him. I know him. He ain't go fall for that, for your devices. And he ain't go curse me, because my countenance doeth behold his uprightness. His righteousness, how he took care of people, how he was there for the afflicted and needy, how he strengthened the feeble knees, and how he made the widow's heart sing for joy. I'm with him. because he did something that impressed me. Job did something that impressed me. Let's find out what he did. Let's go in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 7. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 7. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 7.
If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thy heart, nor shut thy hand from thy poor brother.
So Job understood that. Job understood that this is what the book was, this is what Job was doing, and we understand this is what Job was doing. If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from the poor brother.
Amen.
So when Joe was doing his self-check, this is how he was thinking. And this is the stuff he was saying. It all went back to how he treated the poor people. Verse 8.
But thou shalt open thine hand wide open unto him, and shall surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth.
Didn't Job do that? When Job did his self-check, didn't he say he did stuff like this? Yeah. Verse 9.
Beware that there be not a thought of thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him not. And he cried to the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee.
Ooh, that's probably why Job was knocking jaws loose in his time period. Knocking the teeth out. But we're not supposed to be like this. You know, when the poor is among us. You know, we're not in our land, so we're not the seventh year. We're not, you know, we don't do that. But we do what we can when we see them. But the Lord ain't never been down with how you treat the poor. I mean, how you treat the poor. And you shouldn't be, can't wait to get rid of them. Because if they catch that spirit on you, they go cry unto the Lord, and that's going to be sin against you. Verse 10.
Thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him. For this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works and all that thou puttest thine hand unto.
So that's why Job had all that cattle and rich, you know, and beautiful children. Definitely his daughters. None like it. That's why he was a perfect and upright man. And his Jew was evil. This is why Job was right. This is why the Lord, our God, shall bless thee in all thy works and in all that thou puttest thy hand unto. This is why Satan the devil couldn't get close to Job. This is why the Lord had his head just all around Job. This is why Satan didn't even bother to come at Job until he got permission from God. Why waste my time with somebody that's upright and perfect? I'm on a time period. But that, this is what we're reading. And the story of Job and how we ought to treat one another, definitely the poor and those in need, is the greatest uprightness and righteousness a man can ever do. That's your major love. That's beautiful love. That is beautiful love you can do for somebody. Great charity work. Now let's go into the last spot. Let's go into the book of 1 Peter chapter 4. And if you're falling short, you better make sure you love doing this. We all falling short and we all coming short, so we all supposed to be loving this. We about to read. Because that's great charity we do for people, for those that's in need. That's why we don't have the audacity or the or permission to automatically cast people into like a fire, because you might find yourself going out. Because the stuff that we're reading and considered perfect and upright, that means anybody has a chance. And just don't have to go to your class just to make it. This stuff we're reading, anybody can make it. If they just keep fighting and hold on tight, they got a chance. So we're in the book of 1 Peter chapter 4. And we're going to read one verse, verse 8.
And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, and charity shall cover the multitude of sins.
Amen. You know, so when you see those in need, man, put that animated love on, that animated charity. Hey, brother, what's going on? How you doing? Hey, I'm hungry. I know you hungry. Let's go get something to eat. What you need? I'm your brother. I'm here for you. Here's my number. If you need anything, here's my number. Don't be a stranger. Show that fervent charity and that fervent love towards people. And the Lord see that? The book just told us that the Lord, if we had this fervent charity amongst one another, the Lord said, I forgive you for multitude of your sins. And this is part two of Job's ignorance before he tested his adversity, part two. And I thank y'all for y'all time.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, brother. Good lesson, brother Isaiah. Beautiful reading, brother.
I was merciful.
And you know, brother Isaiah, in Deuteronomy 15:11, it said, the poor shall never cease out of the land. So that God commanded us to open our hands to them widely. Amen.
Amen.
I love it.
Great lesson, Brother Isaiah. Really enjoyed that.
Father's merciful. Thanks for reading for me, bro. That's some good reading you was doing, too.
Amen.
I just want to say, man, that was a great precept. We don't never look at the brother Job as, you know, as a saint. You know, you don't look at him with the characteristics of a saint. We look at him as perfect and upright, but that would make you a saint. And what was he doing? Things that'll make you a saint. And when we missed that, man, he had all, he was doing it, man. He had all the fruits of the Spirit. Like you said, man, when have you, you know, we're busy defending, you know, the dietary laws and all of these things. When have you defended the poor? When you knocked out somebody out for the poor, when have you done that for them? You know, he was dealing with saint characteristics. He wasn't dealing with just any other characteristic. This was a real super saint. You know what I mean? And King David had the same spirit. He looked out for the poor. And like Sister Mary said, she said, you always had a poor, so you always have righteousness.
Right.
You know, so always have righteousness to perform, I should say. You always have righteousness to perform. But as far as we are concerned, brother, as far as we are concerned, we have to be conscious of what we're supposed to be doing. We're too busy focusing on what the next Israelite camp is doing or the next brother or sister have or this, that, and the other. We're missing the prime objective. We're supposed to be trying to fulfill what it become a saint. I urge everybody to go read this book of Job and listen to his conversation. And then listen to what the father had, you know, had a problem with him about, because that's not supposed to be a part of the saint makeup. You know,
right.
he didn't do them things because he was, you know, because it was just, you know, a lot of that stuff he did because he loved the poor and the people and the widows and the fatherless. You know, that was just, and I love the idea that you said, man, people was looking for him to come into town because you got poor people in different parts of the world don't have no food, no clothes, no nothing. So they was looking for him to come through, like people be looking for Santa Claus or something, you know. They was looking for him to come through like that, you know, and that was a great catch. I never thought of him on that level. You know, that they was like, you know, like Samuel coming to a village and they say, is it for good or for evil? And Job come through the village, they were like, man, he got food, he got clothes.
Right.
He was performing things that saints perform, man. And that's why the Lord blessed him. That's why the Lord blessed him. That's why he had all he had. That's why he had those the riches that he had. That's why he was able to do the things that he did, because he didn't. He didn't take his riches to look down on somebody. He took his riches to be a blessing. So it was amazing to him that he would even go through that, you know, that he would even be going through that thing. And that, why is the Lord falling on me and I've done the things that he required of me? And you see it, you know. And yeah, great reading, brother Josh. I forgot to tell you, man. You gotta open up with a Psalms, man, or a proverb or Ecclesiastes or something, man. You know, like 4 or 5 scripts in. So you know, like if you got opening, that was on me, man. I my fault. So I apologize for that.
I should have been more prepared for that. It kind of caught me off guard. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all good. You did some good reading, though, brother.
On that, though.
The Debo boys, man, and the losers are already into it. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, brother, you did good reading, brother Joshua. You did good.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome.
So I just want to say amen, and I yield a mic.
You know, touching back on the yeah, man. I thought about that too, man. You know, just trying to visualize like what Joe was doing, you know, and if he said that, you know, he did all this for a poor. And but what really caught my attention to really think that he was entering into other lands and people knew him or his fame or how he treated people was that how he stayed how he announced that he was a father to the poor. You know, and when you think about being a father, it's not talking about a child. I mean, it could be talking about a child or any age, but just being there for that person. So I'm just thinking, like, man, he must have been going to all kinds of cities, man, and just treating people right because they've been treated so wrong. You know, because the world hates the poor. They don't care nothing for the poor, but the righteous is supposed to step up and be there for that person. You know, for that poor person. So just to think of Job on a level of why he said he was a father to the fatherless. You know, and it should show you that his work in the vineyard was always out there helping those that's in need. And the Lord blessed this man tremendously because of his work in the vineyard. Now you get a mic.
Oh, praise. That was a great catch, man. I love the way you brought that in too, that you know, we tend to put people in a box as we being taught. Like Job, patience, okay. The patience of Job, okay. The afflictions of Job, okay. He was righteous. Why? You don't ask that question. Why was he righteous? God said it.
Right.
Why was he righteous? And I love the fact that you show why he was righteous.
Amen.
I've never heard nobody go there. I never heard nobody go there and showed why this man was truly righteous. We like to point out, you know, yeah, he was afflicted, he got this, the little devil, he tempted him, he did this and he did that, and his brother spoke evil against him and all that type. You going to go through these things and that. Why was he righteous? That's what we're supposed to have been seeking out. What made him righteous?
Mm-hmm.
And I thank the Father for putting that in your heart to seek that out and sharing that with us. Because now we know how to truly, 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 truly really respect his brother's work in the kingdom. And why he is, and why he was called a righteous man.
Amen. You know, because man, we need to be putting more respect on the names. Because Lord, hey, the Bible said it though, y'all. The Bible said it. He said, man, give him double honor. You know, so if he give him double honor, I think we should at least respect him enough to read the whole story and to break this story down, because we might miss something. I mean, there's a lot in the book of Job.
Right.
No? There's no strange thing we do here. You know, we just reading the book. You know, and we, and, you know, and we reading the book. We letting the Lord instruct us on what He wants us to put down for a precept. You know, it's bigger than what I'm not boasting or bragging, but when you look at it, it's just what it is. Is that we do more than just do other people's precepts. You know what I'm saying? Because you're just getting his understanding. But we got to remember the Bible is infinite.
Right.
You see? That's what we're not understanding. We're not understanding that the Bible is infinite. And if the Bible is infinite, then why are we only doing one part of the side story where there's hundreds of more? Because it don't make you a teacher, it don't make you the next top preacher or elder because you perfected your teacher's lesson. That don't mean nothing. But who actually sat down, and who actually sat down and opened this Bible up and did this thing for themselves? Regardless of how people feel about you or how they look at you different because you're talking different now. Doesn't matter. Who is strong enough to read the Bible for themselves? Who is strong enough to look through these scriptures? Who is strong enough to leave it how it is? Who is strong enough to get kicked out of classes because of what the Father showed you? Who's strong enough to hold and maintain those things? That's the question we need to be asking ourselves. Think about that. I'll get a mic.
Amen, brother. Well, amen. Just want to say great precept. Great job reading, brother Josh, man. Hey, brother, you more than welcome to come back and help with the vineyard whenever the Father put it on your heart, man. Hey, that was a great job. Great job. And,
thank you, bro.
We really appreciate that.
Thank
you. You almost sound like Big Ray.
Really?
Right.
I saw him the other day too.
Did you?
Yeah, I did at class.
Yeah, well, you tell that brother, man, that I spoke on him, man, and tell him I love him and I miss him.
I will when I see him again.
Amen. Praise be the Lord. Well, I want to say, everybody, we want to thank everybody for listening, man. Great job, Brother Brown, man. Great lesson. From the spirit of meekness said, Charity Bible Study Class. I want to say thank you, Brother Isaiah Brown, and thank you, Brother Josh, for helping my brother on his wives in the vineyard. Tonight, At 7 o'clock p.m., you have the Fellowship of the Spirit with Brother Paul. Reading is yet to be named. But amen. So you want to be here for that. So your brother Paul will be here, and I guess you're going to post the script a little later on, the title of the lesson. So once again, that's 7 o'clock p.m. this evening. You want to be here for that. So with that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. And as we say here at the Sounds of Living Waters, do what?
Read your Bible.
Read your Bible.
Read your Bible.
Long is the life.
Shalom.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show.